All right, here we go. So, like, yeah, I think that's how I start every podcast. I just go, so yeah, but Wingstop, the Wingstop in Des Moines, the Wingstops in Des Moines, the Central Iowa.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
You're really going to start this post-game reaction episode off with you sending Seneca Wallace's restaurant chain on notice?
You know what? Well, let's just talk about that. Seneca Wallace is not even on the Mount Rushmores of Iowa State quarterbacks after yesterday. No, he's not. It's Steele Jantz, Kyle Kemp, Brock Purdy, and Hunter Deckers. Seneca Wallace didn't do anything.
What the hell did Steele Jantz do that Seneca didn't?
Steele Jantz beat Iowa twice.
So did Seneca.
I don't know. Steele Jantz also played when I was in Iowa.
All right, there it came out. There it came out.
I tell you what, Steele Jantz owns a company too, and it runs well. Fucking hell. He don't need 7 people to cook 2 baskets of wings. Anyway, whatever. I'm sure that they're doing exactly what they're told. They just need to be told to do something different.
Yeah. Like I say, the only thing I know about cooking wings is when we worked at the wing restaurant, a basket of boneless took 6 to 7 minutes to cook. A basket of traditional took 13 to 14 to cook. So when you order an order of traditional, it takes more than 20 minutes for your order to come out at a hot wing place during the evening meal rush when they're throwing on extras, then you know that somebody fucked around. That's the only explanation.
What I think it is the GM there at the time is not running the show the right way. I mean, I was there at the Ames Wingstop, which is the first one that opened. I was there to shake Seneca's hand. I shook his hand, and I was like, "You're shorter than I thought you would be." and then I
and then he kicked your ass.
No, I didn't say that to him. I thought I was like, "Okay, weird." and then yeah, I got my wings. I ordered the wrong kind because I never had Wingstop before, but I wanted to try it. And then I changed my order to the original. So, but yeah,
I've back never around heard of it.
Well, you're coming. You're coming. We'll bring you to after one of the games. We'll go. And we'll have some wings at the Ames. We'll have to wait there for 45 minutes. But you know, yeah, that's what I'm mad about. I waited for 45 fucking minutes, and I didn't even get the right order. So
I get that. So about that game, though.
About that game, let's talk about a real quarterback.
just slinging it.
Is it fool's gold? Or
no, okay. Absolutely not. Maybe.
Tell me why it's not. I mean, I mean, we've had quarterbacks before who cannot throw the ball like that on no matter what team, even on the Sisters of the Poor.
I'll be curious to see how things go when there's actually pressure on the game.
Mm-hmm. You know,
who's going to win is still a thing in the third quarter and not having that much time to work. But he had to be mobile in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that one basket toss that he had to, I think it was Jalen. No, who was it? Where he caught it and then when he hit the ground, it bounced out his crotch. He had a few really nice tosses just right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
That for the first start, he was looking pretty good. Now, I'm excited about that. Yeah. I was admittedly yesterday while we were in the game, I was pretty annoyed thinking our run blocking was complete butthole, I believe was my word that I used.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I think mainly what had me thinking that was, one, I was really frustrated with South Dakota State's opening drive. and I needed something to vent about. Mm-hmm. And then I kept looking at the scoreboard and seeing that whole first half we had what, maybe 20 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And
like that. Yeah.
And now you're looking back at it, I think it's because we just never bothered running because the passing game was going so well.
Nah, we never bothered.
We did have some good runs.
And we gotta work out the pass. Like, I looking at Jirel yesterday, he's fine. He'll be good. Who cares? Like, we need to make sure that the connection with these receivers is good. Xavier, we don't have to worry about that. We do need to get Jalen going. He was okay. He had one really good play and then a bunch of plays that should be thrown out of the playbook.
That one Jarrell Brock run he had going down the sideline. He was going for it all. And when he just puts the brakes on and that guy olays right past him. That might have been the run of the day. He had a couple where he was dancing real good. Cartavius was juking guys out of their shorts too, until he went out. I hadn't heard any more on injury. Granted, we're never going to hear what really happened to him.
I think he'll be out till the Baylor game. He'll be held out to the Baylor game.
That's all right.
Just because, I mean, unless it's a cramp, which I doubt it is, because we probably would have saw more. It's probably a hamstring, and those can linger for the whole season if you don't just intensely treat it. So I'm guessing he won't be here next week, and they just won't even bother for the Ohio game. I think the Ohio game will be very similar to yesterday, just throttling them. And yeah, I really like Hunter Deckers because he got rid of the ball quick. Like, we would see Purdy dance around back there a little bit. And that's something that it's really easy to blame the offensive line. It's really easy to blame the offensive coordinator when you're just like, why is he getting sacked? Why is he throwing dumps to Charlie all game that go nowhere? Well, the play progresses and you have to get rid of the ball before it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Hunter was doing. He was right when he knew that, okay, my guy will be open by the time the ball gets there, he was throwing it. Which is really, it was really good to see, but obviously you got to take it with a grain of salt because of the team that we're playing against. I mean, that team,
you get
a few guys on a team like that. Their quarterback, he was better than I thought he would be. That running back, he's about what I thought he would be, able to do nothing. But guys who are maybe all conference guys by the end in their league in the FCS. But when it comes to building a team in the FCS, especially in the Ohio Valley, that's where it falls off. And you need 11 guys on defense for it to work, or we'll find a hole and we'll exploit that hole. So
I think there'll definitely be a ratchet up in competition as far as Hunter Deckers and our passing attack.
Oh, really?
Versus the team he's going to be going up against next week. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, on the flip side, I think it's going to get easier on our defense than it was this last week, too.
Why do you think that?
Well, I haven't watched a game. But I've heard enough things. Of course, I had to listen to Sound Off this morning while I was doing some work around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic radio.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing better would have been if they wouldn't have won on safeties.
I mean, I can't wait till next week when we win and somebody goes, I'm not coming out for a week. I'm locking myself in my bedroom for a week. I can't take it. I can't take over this team. I'm not thinking of it's like, we'll talk about that fan base in a little bit. But yeah.
Did we kick a field goal yesterday? I don't remember.
No, we didn't. Well, besides extra points, no.
Yeah, I didn't think
we did. No, we did not. But I guess we talked about the quarterback a lot. I guess, do we really need to talk about the running back? I mean, he's good. Jirel's good. Cartavius is good. I like Eli. I like Deion. I mean, do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't. I did like in that second half when one of the backs got sniffing towards that end zone, that we just stuffed the ball with them the rest of the way to make sure that they got rewarded with the touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was kind of fun as a fan.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of will it along with him.
Oh yeah. And I think the coaches know, like, yeah, just they earned it. They got a big run. They earned it to get to.
Yep. Give them that.
They earned that touchdown. Give it to them if you can get it. Don't let somebody else steal it. Just give it to them, especially in games like this. It means a lot. We're still waiting for Eli Sanders to see the end zone. It's kind of bummed. Kind of wanted him to, but I mean,
just a matter of time. Well, and especially if Cartavius is out, these next couple of weeks, that'll bring minutes up for these other three rather than.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how I went my whole time watching Paul Rhodes never have a fucking running back that could, like, do anything. I mean, he had a couple guys. He had Aaron Wimberly. He had James White. He had those guys. Those guys never, like, made anybody scared. Mike Warren was pretty good. But, like, nobody ever got super scared out of their boots out of these guys. I mean, Mike Warren, a quarter of his yards came in one game against Texas Tech. And he ran for like 250 yards that game. But nobody was really ever scared. And immediately when Campbell gets here, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the recruiting. I don't know if they just know how to train these guys well.
I think it's all the above from evaluation, yeah, right on through development.
Probably it is. But David, and then they had a little bit of time where they needed to figure it out. And then they're like, okay, Brees is good, but we need to figure out who's going to lead the team this year in 2019. And then they just gave it to Brees, and Brees was awesome. And now it's like, okay, you're standing in the stands and you're watching Jirel rip off some pretty good runs. And then you see Cartavius, the new toy, come in, and you're like, oh shit, he's fucking crazy. And you're just standing there going, if Jirel gets tackled for a 2-yard loss, people are going to be like, put it Cartavius. It's like, we have too many good running backs. Should we just run the triple option?
No, I kind of like throwing the ball once in a while.
Yeah. Our committed running back scored 4 touchdowns on Thursday. They played on Thursday. So it's not going to – we're going to be a good running back team for the foreseeable future, which is pretty damn good, pretty damn fun. But anyway, that's your running backs. I'm not worried about any of them. I mean, any of them could get hurt, and I'd be fine with any of them playing. But the wide receivers, Kevin – can you tell me one of your observations?
Well,
I know you want to talk about it.
I did go back to try and watch it on the TV. And
I did too.
And so what I'll say is this. If you were not watching in the stands, you're not going to have a clue what I'm talking about.
You're not going to have a clue.
First quarter.
You probably will by going, where is he?
First quarter, I'm hot because things just aren't going perfect and I needed them to go perfect. And so I'm looking for
stuff. Like,
I'm just eyeing stuff. And we just have this little dink pass. And can't remember the receiver that guy.
Jalen. It was Jalen.
Jalen's going to run. I see Dimitri Stanley needing to make a block on the DB to really open this run up. And instead he just was a witness to the action.
He Olay'd the guy.
And just stood there and was like, yeah, my work here is done, is kind of the way I took it as the drunken fan who was annoyed that SDSU just – or not SDSU, wrong team – that SEMO had marched down our throats for a while. And it's just get his ass out. Mm-hmm. and I heard a couple of other guys around me barking the same way, yeah, at the same time.
Get the fuck off the field.
What made me happy, I guess, was blocking in the receiving room is important at Iowa State. This is getting into the little things that a team like Iowa State needs to help extend these.
If you're gonna do a swing pass, you have to fucking block.
A guy's gotta block. And so seeing the coaching staff pull him out, now it could have all been coincidence, but he didn't see the field until at least midway into the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hopefully going to pay him dividends in the long run, because I want things to work with him. But a guy's got a block in a situation like that.
Yeah, I think he was trying the rest of the game. I don't know how. I didn't really watch to see how good his blocks were, but he learned it's time, things are a little bit different here at Iowa State University. You kind of have to block a little bit.
Yeah. No, I.
Hey, look, here's Tyler. All right, I'll let him in. Yeah, things are a little different here.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping to see a few more attempts to Stanley just to get him settled in. And I know that they'll come, because he had that one guy smoked. It was that at the very end of the game?
Yeah.
Pass interference saved that touchdown there. Yeah. It would have been real nice to have him kind of just get his welcome to Jack Trice Stadium moment.
I knew right when that happened. You're already, because Kevin's probably the most vocal fan in the group.
Oh, for sure.
And I knew I fucking, and I wasn't sitting next to Kevin. I was down the aisle, and Kevin's barking the whole time at the team, like when the team just going down the field. The other team just going down the field in their first drive. I'm just like, oh shit, Kevin might lose it if they actually like score a touchdown here.
I don't know why I called that when we were doing our predictions. I called a touchdown in the opening drive.
Yeah. I mean, you know how this works. Yeah, they score a touchdown and then we figure it out. We come from behind every freaking game.
Yeah.
Every freaking game.
Now, granted, and then, listening to a little of that post game reaction, I Reader definitely said that, and I maybe others did as well, that SEMO came out completely different offensively than just running it down our throats is what we thought that they were going to try to do.
Yeah, which is probably – which I could tell. I could tell that they thought this guy is going to be – the DeLaurent guy is going to be comparable to Spencer Petras, like basically the same guy, can't throw, can't run. Can't be good for nothing, the weak sister of their conference. Mm-hmm. And like they
instead he ended he up
was
being,
not that yeah. He was pretty accurate and he was pretty mobile.
He ended up being like the kryptonite of our style of defense,
which I probably if Hunter Deckers can throw the way that he can, I think we'll get a lot of wins. Yeah. But I'm fucking terrified of going to Stillwater.
Yeah.
With our defense like that.
Jeez.
Just a quarterback that can be evasive in the pocket like that. Like with that 3-to-4-man rush, that will do.
What we need to do, and this is my dumb brain talking, we need to go back to the 4-2-5.
Yeah.
And contain, because like we saw those big old boys up front for our defensive line. I mean, Kev, we'll watch the game back a little bit later. Probably should have done it before we did this podcast, but whatever. Yeah. We're busy. Whatever. We have a life. Contrary to what most fans think, we have a life. I saw Will McDonald kind of get eaten up a little bit, but we didn't rush too much. He kind of got eaten up a little bit. I saw our other end also doing pretty good job. And our middle guy, Isaiah Lee, doing business. I saw Tyler Onyedin. I'm not exactly sure about how to say his name yet. But him. I saw J.R. Yep. Singleton breaking people's helmets and shit. And then the big boy, the Fortress, the Orange Fortress, Dominique Orange.
The Orange just, Fortress.
He took up like three blockers every play.
Dude, that was ridiculous.
He's so fucking big. He's a big boy.
Also, let's not forget Tyler Onyedim got that interception.
He got that interception. He was taking up a lot of blockers too. Like that was a team where I their line is probably not, you know, not up to snuff with any other line that we'll face. I couldn't get a good read, but like we were doing some work after that first drive. We were doing some work on that line, and they couldn't really do anything from then on. I think we do have enough linemen to run a 4-2-5 if we need to. I just don't know if they've ever practiced it. We've got a lot of dudes. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would.
But, like, that's how you would stop Spencer Sanders. Because that's the only thing that scares me right now. I'm not scared of, like, any statue. I'm not scared of any statue quarterback in this league.
What's Iowa's backup quarterback like? Because I know we don't have to worry about
people. Padilla?
Yeah.
Padilla's a little bit more of a runner. I shouldn't say he's a runner. He's mobile. So, like, if he needs to extend a play, he can. He's not like Kyle Kemp out there where it's like, pray to God that nobody gets in the pocket. He'll get rid of the ball, but pray to God nobody gets in there, because if he has to run, it's not good. But yeah.
Running in mud.
It's like running in mud. And Padilla's a little bit, he could extend the play. He's kind of like Nate Stanley, where Nate Stanley was, especially in the Cy-Hawk game, he could extend every play. It's unbelievable. We'll talk about that game in a little bit, probably in another episode. But I'm scared of, kind of getting a little scared of KU's quarterback, kind of getting a little scared of Oklahoma State's quarterback out of that. I can't think of anybody else.
I don't think I'd be worried about Kansas' quarterback, because I would consider it a lot like this, where even if he is able to extend plays, he's not.
Well, he's a total dual threat, though.
But he's not all 22 men on the field.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And the good thing is that week we'll know it's coming. We'll know it's coming. So we'll be able to prepare for it. Like this week, that's the first thing I noticed when he like ran a little bit and then ran out of bounds. I was like, damn it. We did not prepare for that.
Where the fuck did this come from?
There is no tape on that guy. There is no tape. That is just calling an opponent of an NAIA team and going, hey, can you give us a little scouting report on this guy? And some drunken dude who's in a tiny, like a little closet, like some O-line coach that is in a little closet that they got a hold of said, yeah, he's not very mobile to me. And then we probably took it. Because, like, this guy came from an NAIA school and, like, there's nothing on it. You have no idea what he could do. And he probably was instructed at his school, stand here and throw it. Oh, well. Yeah.
What did we – I should probably look it up myself. What did we end up with for yardage?
I'm not sure. I know that Jirel had over 100 yards rushing.
You're talking about for rushing or for the entire game?
We did have a back get over 100 yards.
He got 100.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, he had 105 or 104.
No kidding. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, okay. Let's just – we don't need to talk about the tight ends. The thing about the podcast is – it's kind of hard to talk about the good stuff because it's like, yay, that was fun. Yay, that was cool. Let's talk about a little friend called for Kevin called the offensive line. little friend. I'm reserving judgment until next weekend, because next weekend will be the ultimate test, because they have a really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how we can stack up.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be more of an honest litmus test.
Have you pulled up the stats from yesterday?
Ours or Iowa's?
Ours.
I'm just looking at them right now.
Okay. Tell me what the average yards per attempt.
Rushing?
For the rushing, yes.
4.9 yards 4.9. Average on 36 attempts.
Tell me for each individual back.
Oh. Jump over to individuals.
Specifically, Jirel.
Okay, Jirel averaged 6.5.
That's really damn
His good. Longest was a 23-yarder, so they were pretty consistent, actually.
I'll have to look up the standard deviation. And the standard deviation, for anybody listening, because there's a lot of people who
mm-hmm.
This is the thing. There, a lot of people tell me the average yards. Like, for somebody like Tyler Goodson. Tyler Goodson, he had a decent average yards. But when you look at the standard deviation, it's like for every time that I looked at his standard deviation for yards, his standard deviation was higher than his average. What does that mean, Eric? That means that if he had like four yards per carry in a game and his standard deviation was 5 yards per carry, what that means is on any given play, this guy could either get 9 yards, or he could get -1 yards, get tackled in the backfield because he's dancing. And that's what the story told. Like, you can predict that he's either going to get 9 yards or -1 yards. And the reason why he was cut in the NFL is because his standard deviation, like, even though he had some big runs, his standard deviation was double his average yards. What does that mean? That means if his average was 5 yards per carry and his standard deviation was 10, you can either expect him to get 15 yards or get tackled 5 yards behind.
Sure.
And that's like, I did the numbers because I'm like, because I was looking at all his carries. I was like, holy shit. His numbers are crazy because they're so inconsistent. It goes like 1 yard, 1 yard, 0 yards, 1 yard, 25 yards. Like, that's what it is. And for Jirel, I don't know what his standard deviation is. I'll look it up. I'll tweet it out. He's running on SEMO, but 6.5 yards per carry is a good average for a team like SEMO, especially when we couldn't really get going at the beginning. So they were really not, they were expecting us to run a lot more than we did. And I thought Jirel was, I thought he was fine. I thought he was really good. And we'll win games with him. So
I think we made more of an honest effort to try and run with the ball, whether it was right or wrong in the second half, clearly in the first half. Cause yeah, like I say, I remember going out to the parking lot cause I needed to lubricate.
Yes.
At halftime. Did you? Well, I felt like I needed to at the time, and seeing that stat line on the scoreboard. And I swear it was 20 yards rushing. It was something dumb like that. And it was like, what in the fuck? I was wrong. We just never tried running it.
It's Oklahoma State 2019. We threw it 62 times. And I was in the reason why that number is burned into my skull is because I was swearing in the parking lot. We threw it, Brock Purdy threw it 62 fucking times. Like, and we threw 3 interceptions and he threw it 62 fucking times. And I think we just were like, it's kind of working, so let's just do it. And at the time, it was like Breece Hall was this brand new toy who could do no wrong because he obliterated Texas Tech and Texas Tech and West Virginia, and like we barely ran in that game. And I lost it. But that's kind of what the story of the first half was, oh, let's just throw it because they can't stop it. They're not stopping it. Let's just keep doing it. It, like, because I don't really remember very many runs in the first half.
No, I don't think there were hardly any.
I mean, Brock got him a couple. Cartavius got two. I don't remember if Eli got any. But yeah, I think the line, I think they're better at pass blocking, though. I think they're much better at pass blocking. I think they can hold their own. Maybe if they're told to push people around, that's where it gets scared. That's where I'm a little scared. In the run game, that's where I'm a little scared.
Yeah. Well, and play to the team's strengths. Like, if that's what we got to be doing, I guess. You kind of feel bad saying that with our running backs that we have.
This is what I would say. When we're going into this game this week, you have to play your team's strengths. Because our team's strength is not power run. Our team's strength is throwing medium-level passes to guys who are crossing.
Right. And
we tried to power run last year, and it didn't fucking work. And, like, we tried to power run it at the 5-yard line, which is probably what we're supposed to do, and we fumble, and they pick it up and run it in. Like, where everybody's been saying it, Purdue just dinked and dunked.
Yeah,
and they crushed them. They absolutely crushed them.
Well, that was kind of, I guess, thinking back on yesterday's game, part of what has me feeling more optimistic about our game next weekend than normal was just seeing us in a sense move the running game to a secondary option for a while there. And we were able to have good success that way playing.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like the style of play. We were going hurry up offense. Come on, here we go. Like, this is the type of playbook that will beat those Hawks. Kevin. We'll see.
Kevin Tyler is... I'm about to cry. Is this the year? Is this the year?
This is a fucking year, dude.
This is a fucking year, man.
This is a fucking year, man. I'll be there in person. And
yeah, good. Have fun with that.
We got a down for a panic attack. Somebody tries to throw beer at me.
Catch
two beer cans. I'm a stone cold that shit. And that's the bottom line, because Tyler said so. A good old 90s wrestling reference.
You watched that game yesterday. The whole time I'm watching it, like, I didn't respect these guys. I didn't respect Simo. I'm sorry. Like, if that game would have even been close, I'd have just been like, fuck it. Click. Y'all can have my tickets.
Yeah, you know say that now.
You know I'm lying. Sorry, I'll be
everywhere. Yeah, I must say your cap.
But here's the thing. When I'm watching that game yesterday, I know that the clock was running the entire time. But the two things I say, like, that game didn't have as many plays as we could have. Two things I saw that I really liked, and it will beat Iowa. We threw short to medium balls that were quick.
Mm-hmm.
About Iowa, if you give them an extra second to figure out their play, your play, they'll sniff it out and they'll beat you. If you make those linebackers think for a split second and figure out what you're trying to do. If you don't let them figure it out, You will beat them. Their linebackers are slow. Their linemen are slow. Even some of their safeties are slow. They're secondary. You can beat them with crossing patterns. You can beat them with quick outs and do all that kind of stuff. That's what Purdue did.
Yep.
You can beat them that way. And there's that's what we were doing. And it's kind of like, are they preparing for Iowa?
Yeah, that might have been. That might have been some of it.
Are they preparing to kick the shit out of that team? I mean, if we go up 14, it's fucking done.
It's over. It is over.
See.
It's over.
Back from that shit.
If we punt and get them inside their 25, it's fucking done.
You know how many safeties they would need?
They would need like 20. Because here's the thing. If they get down 10 points, they got to start throwing it downfield.
Yeah,
That shit ain't going to work.
Just look out.
Because we're not going to respect it. Because we're gonna just be stuffing the run. We're just going to be stuffing the run if we go up 10 points or more. And because they'll try to throw it. That dude is garbage. And I know that they're booing him, and they're right. He sucks.
I want to watch that.
You want to watch paint dry?
I kind of want to just watch the second half. I mostly just want to see the spectacle, you know.
And I know there's some Hawkeye fans that listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
I know they do it for the pure factor to put banter on the people who are on this podcast, me, Kevin, and Tyler, and talk shit. they do. I see the comments.
We hear you guys.
And here's the thing I'll say to anybody who's listening. Y'all quarterback fucking sucks, and you know it.
Right. You saw that dude that's saying, oh, yeah, I was going to win 20-10. How the fuck are you going to score 20 points?
And you're fucking the Lord.
20 points.
You're Lord and
Savior. You're counting on a pick six or two.
Your Lord and Savior, Kirk Ferentz, fucking forsaken you when in the press conference he said, of course Petras is going to start next week.
I hope so.
You guys
are. I'm like, good. He sucks. And here's the thing. Nobody can deny it. He's terrible. He can't hit the broadside of a barn. Plenty of them in Iowa.
And the comment will be, well, he's beaten Iowa State. And it's like, no, he hasn't.
No.
He didn't beat Iowa State.
He hasn't. Beat, no. Corey Taylor and Jack Campbell did.
Right.
Torrey Taylor and Jack Campbell did. He had one good pass last year, and it was to a guy that transferred out of your fucking program. Because he's like, this guy sucks, this team sucks, this offensive coordinator sucks. It's hate week.
Hey, speaking of having a good punter. I thought Tyler Perkins did all right. I don't remember.
Perkins did great.
I don't remember ever being mad at him. That first punt into the wind, I was nervous because watching those kickoffs after the touchdowns, there was a serious change in the distance that ball traveled as soon as we had to go into the wind. And I'm like, well, shit, here we go.
The bar is low.
And he sent that missile right out there. I was like, hey, yeah, buddy.
The bar is low for our satisfaction. And I will say that he was basically like state high jump. Our bar is super low to start out with. And it was super low because we don't know what to expect. Right. And he's one of those.
He was pressured on at least one of those.
He was a state favorite who just jumped over it with ease. Just didn't even do the Frosbury flop. He just jumped over it straight up. And we're like, hey, look at that. Like, it's not, I was just going, I'm praying that it doesn't be shanked. It's not shanked.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you, by the way, speaking of that, the freaking dark magic that Kirk Ferentz must do, because this fucking San Diego or San South Dakota State, whatever, punter, one of the first drives that they have.
Oh, the, yeah. The just, very first one.
The very first one. Just shanks it.
He shanks it. I was like, what the, like, fuck?
The fucking luck of this program.
But
that fucking voodoo.
But then they had to count on Petrus and Brian Boy calling plays.
Bri Boy and
he capitalized on that.
And that they ended up having to kick a field goal that time, didn't they? Was that the one they got or was that the one they missed?
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We might lose next week. Maybe. Who knows?
No, we won't.
No, we won't. But we might. The game hasn't been played yet, so there's always a possibility that we lose. And I can guarantee you, if we lose, it's not because of Petrus and Brian. It's not. It's because we're backed up against the wall and Deckers gets tackled in the end zone.
I tell you what, though. If the crowd in Kinnick was honestly booing the team like it sounds like they were, like as hard as they were, all we need is a halfway decent start and for them to sputter on their opening couple of drives.
Yeah.
And it actually would be a benefit to us to be in Kinnick rather than be in Ames, because
I agree.
The home team will be hurting a lot more when their own fans are just calling for their heads than if they're in the hostile environment that they're expecting to be in, which is the road environment against a rival. Oh, that could be a lot of fun, Tyler.
I'm never going there.
Just make sure you boo with them.
Boo.
That good? Yeah.
I would actually like that. Just booing their team. Boo.
A bunch of bums.
The boo.
Fucking bum.
You fucking bum. Yeah. nothing brings Hawkeyes and Cyclones together like hating Spencer Petras.
Oh, well, I just like a good excuse to boo about something. It's there's something satisfying about an entire stadium collectively booing an official's call. In hindsight, buddy, you feel bad for the officiating crew because that's a thankless job, but good buddy it Cole, does feel good.
Our good buddy Cole said, what we should do is take the ball. What we should do is just first kick, take the ball. Hopefully we can go down the field and score. If we can't, oh well. But we need to get a little solid drive going to get the field position right.
Yep.
If we can score, we put all the pressure on Iowa because they can't.
They can't score, yeah.
They can't score. Mm-hmm. We put all the pressure on Iowa from the beginning of the game. This is going to be a total field position game if – we can't score immediately. It's going to be all about field position, which is what Iowa is. But if we can go march down the field and score, get 7, they'll panic. And then they'll start out on their 25. They'll panic. They'll hopefully we stop them before they get a first down. Torrey Taylor will punt, but he can't fucking possibly punt that far. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, but if they get the ball first, then you make sure that they're punting into the wind.
We will get it beyond our 10, okay? Yep. We'll get it beyond our 10 at least.
How stupid is this?
I mean, this is what you have to think about. This is what you have to think about now. You don't have to think about this with Baylor. You don't have to think about this with anybody.
They have an absolutely stagnant offense, but we
it's unfucking real. Like I mean
you're just basically going for this game. Most games you're like, how do we devise a game plan to chop up the defense and take down this offense and to snuff out the offense? This game you're just going, how do I not get fucked today?
Exactly. Honestly, this offense is way worse than that Treon Harris Florida offense, dude.
I don't think very many people know about that. That was bad.
That was bad, but this is way fucking worse, dude. This shit is so much worse.
If you want to know, like every weekend, Tyler would call me and be like, fucking Trigon Harris.
Fucking Spencer Petras.
Like,
at least that fucker scored a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, man, this is how you, like, you have to go out, score a touchdown, put their back against the wall, because then they'll have to be throwing it and they're not going to want to be doing that. Their running backs aren't that good either. If we can get the ball beyond our 10, I just need it beyond our 10, then we can play the game that we want to. We can afford to lose some yards.
Yep.
Just, I don't know. You can't rely on takeaways because they're not going to freaking turn it over because they haven't for years. We just can't turn it over ourselves. I would be fine if we just go down the march down the field, score a touchdown, and it just becomes a punt battle for the rest of the game. I would be totally fine with that. 7-0. But this is a tricky one, and who knows? I don't know.
Every first down just means so much in this type of game, and so then you get into your own head, like playing the game within the game, and then you make sometimes
that's when you make mistakes,
complicated on ourselves, yeah.
Here's the thing. We gotta set the tone from, let's say if we start out on offense, we gotta set the tone from the start, dude. Like already have them quick passes set up, or at least have like, you know, maybe like a script ready or something. Have that just go quick passes, boom, 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 boom. Nickel and dink and dunk down the field and score a TD. I mean, then I think that then they're gonna be like, oh shit.
Yeah, put their back against the wall.
Right. Put their back against the wall, starting against the game. They're going, oh fuck, it's gonna be taxing for us to get downfield. And then, you know, do what you gotta do.
You know, the bad part is that's all we've had to do for the last couple of years. And
that is the thing, Kev. Like, it's as simple as that, but we still can't do it.
Yeah, right.
Well, at least up to this point.
Here's a good thing.
Their defense is probably one of the best defenses we play every year.
Oh, yeah.
There's
no denying that.
No, they are the best defense.
That's how, like, when we played them last year, I was like, well, on the bright side, we're not going to play a defense that hard again.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, fuck that noise. I don't want no part of that.
Here's something that might be a positive. And it's something I wanted to talk about. We have a bunch of freshmen who have no idea, who just got here, who are playing in this game, who have no idea of the trickery and the bullshit that happens in this game. Yeah. Or are they jaded by it? I mean, Hunter Deckers he played in the game last year and looked great. But he's not screwed up with like throwing three picks like Purdy was.
Right.
And the bullshit of running in your own punter or your punt guy or whatever, catcher, I can't remember what they're called, but returner. Jeez Louise, I'm losing my mind. None of these guys are accustomed to that. Jeremiah Cooper doesn't know about that.
Well, we're dipping pretty hard into the Iowa preview when
we'll dip a little bit harder. We'll dip a little bit harder when I can actually watch our game over and their game.
Yeah, did we
a synopsis?
I know we've touched on the defense, but did we really talk much in depth on it? I'm peeking right now to see who our leading tacklers were.
I mean,
and we've got Colby Reeder, Miles Mendezoon, and Bo Freeler all with 5.
Miles made a lot on special teams. He's a really damn good special teams player. He's also going to be rotating in at the middle linebacker spot.
Yeah, because he's shared a sack or a tackle for loss. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not a sack. There wasn't a single sack on anybody here.
Yeah, we didn't pressure him very much.
No.
But the defense, kind of the way that I look at it, is who made the impact. I mean, you can get a lot of tackles by gang tackling a dude.
Sure.
But the kind of the people that I look at is who made the impact. The person that I see made an impact, Anthony Johnson, definitely. He was making a lot of really big tackles that could have turned into something and given them momentum. And so he entered the safety spot very seamlessly. And I'm going to say that he is going to stay there. Even when Malik Verdon comes back, I think we'll see who will be the starting guys. But in the other, another guy that I think really played well was Miles Purchase. He had a few at the very beginning where you're kind of like, hey man, like, cover your dude.
But he also the guy that receiver streaking down the sideline, ball gets tossed up, and our D-back was not in a position to be able even to turn to look for the ball and was still able to disrupt that pass?
What he was doing is he was watching the DB.
Yep, watch his motion, and then you follow it.
Yeah, and then he put his arms up and blocked it. And this is what I was talking about when I was like, this is the best prospect since Alan Lazard. Like, he's going to be right in their face, and he knows he's has the best instincts that I've seen from a corner to come to Iowa State. He's going to be right there. He's not that big. He's 5'10", but he's going to be right there and make it really difficult for them to catch the ball. If they catch the ball, it's because either they're doing a flat, like they're doing a 5-yard out, and like they're doing a 5-yard out, and he's going into deep coverage, mm-hmm. or like something just breaks down. He's really stinking good. He's really good. His instincts are really good. And that kind of brings another point that I wanted to talk about was they started picking on another guy. They started to pick on TJ Tampa a little bit. I realized. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's going to become a problem down the the season. We need to figure out a way to get that cleaned up. That's why I was saying that Anthony Johnson's not going to move, mm-hmm. because people are going to be saying, hey, TJ Tampa, they're picking on him.
Going to be somebody.
Yeah. There's always going to be a breakdown. There's always going to be a weak link, but a guy who they're like, oh, we can't throw on Miles. Got to go against the other guy. And if they can't go against the other guy, then they're just going to have to figure it out. I thought TJ was really good, but they definitely were like, we can't throw on Miles. What did you guys think of the secondary?
I think for the most part, they played pretty well. Obviously, you knew that they were going to go to TJ, but I think all in all, like, obviously, like, because you knew that with Jeremiah Cooper in there, like, he was gonna make some mistakes, but I love Jeremiah Cooper's play, man. Like, he made some pretty nice plays out there.
hey Kevin.
Yeah,
so I went back and watched the game.
Oh,
and we're watched a little bit of it. The one who dropped it when there was like four guys right there was Jeremiah.
Okay. When their quarterback threw into a quadruple coverage. Yeah. I wondered how that play got broken up with none of us coming up with the ball.
I'm telling you, halfway through the season, he comes down with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This is total first game jitters.
Sure.
Of this is the first time you've ever played in front of 61-5, and it's just a lot. Putting it all together is just a lot. He's in the right spot. It's just a lot, you know.
Yeah.
The,
So you watched some of it back. Did
What's up?
Well, you know how much I just absolutely go wild when somebody tosses one quick into the flats on us over and
again. Oh yeah. Again. Well, this is what I'll tell you.
And I understand. Well, I'm trying to figure out how we can discourage that at least some of the time. Without changing the system.
So we're not going to discourage that in the first quarter.
Yeah, well, that's true. And maybe that's when the majority of it happened. Everybody just remember, I had a tailgate's worth of drinks in me. Uh-huh. And so the apple pie was tasting good.
What I will tell you about our secondary is that dude, don't get me wrong. Yes, he was a pretty decent runner, the De Laurent guy. Mm-hmm. He was a pretty decent runner. But don't get me wrong. He is a statue quarterback. He is a pocket passer. He wants to throw. He wants to throw before he runs. He's running out of – he has to.
Yep.
And the reason why he runs is because our safeties and corners, our secondary, is locking them down, and he has nothing else to do. We didn't really have a good rush yesterday because we weren't sending the house. We weren't really doing the schemes to really.
Bo took out the quarterback.
Yeah, he folded that kid.
Yeah,
he took off like a freaking missile and destroyed the.
Guy got dude. The ball out of his hands and boom.
That dude.
I forgot about that.
That quarter. I'll have to go back. I haven't gotten that point yet. That quarterback at that point went, fuck this.
Yeah.
Fuck this. This is stupid.
Series, yeah.
That quarterback is like, I just transferred to this school to try to have an opportunity to get to the NFL because whatever school he was at was terrible. Like they're not getting to the NFL from that school. Like he went, I'm transferring to this school because I want an opportunity to get into a camp someday. I am not going to let this missile of a man kill me. I'm going to get rid of this ball before it even gets close.
Yeah.
So that's that play right there wrecked him. It did that to DJ Uiagalelei last year. Like, we should just have a play called Bo, where we just send Bo at the quarterback at a long passing down situation and just annihilate the guy. Not talking about headhunting here. Don't want to hurt them.
No.
Just kind of tell them we're coming for you.
he lifted that guy off the ground. I'm pretty sure.
This podcast would probably be called like the not so instant overreaction or something like that. Because this team is a lot like ULM or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where you think after it that you have the best team of all time and you're going to destroy everyone, when in fact, it's not true. You can score 70 on a team and go 7-6. Sure. So we're definitely probably overreacting about how great our team is. But I'm very pleased with once after we figured out kind of what they were doing, they couldn't really do anything. They had one drive down the field. That was with our twos. We had all of our twos in, and most of those guys have never seen the field before yesterday. Like, seriously, sure. It was a defensive line, secondary linebackers. This was like their first series of action altogether. Like, it was Trayvon Howard, who this is his first game. It was Will McLaughlin. It was this guy. It was Kendall Jackson. It was this guy, that guy, the other guy. Not blaming them. It's their first action. You can't expect much. You can't. There is some growing pains.
I'd be curious on the rewatch to He's not a young guy, but a new face to kind of spend some time watching Colby Reeder to see how he
Oh, he was great. He was great. He was great.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah, but he's had action. I'm talking about guys who have never really been in a college game before.
Sure.
And they came in, they had that rotation later in the game in the second half when that team was still going at it. And right. they played a hell of a lot better. This was just like their first series. So it was right before half. And then you're like, okay, it's all right. Whatever. And then they played great in the second half. So there's a lot that you could take out of this game and think like, oh my gosh, we're gonna beat the team next week. We're gonna beat these guys. We're gonna crush Baylor. Whatever. I'm trying not to get to that point.
We probably will, though.
But what I like Deckers. I think our defense it has really high potential. They gotta tweak a bunch of stuff this week, and they will. And we don't really need them for next week. But yeah, I think that this team has way higher upside than last year's team.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they continue to progress as we ratchet up an opponent.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, well,
yep.
We good for this week?
Well, at least for today.
We'll watch the game over, and then we'll have more thoughts. I'll watch it over tomorrow and let you guys know what I think, if yep. I'm remembering the game correctly or whatnot. But, damn, I'm ready to play Iowa. I'm ready to beat them.
No shit.
It was on everybody's mind in the stadium yesterday. Can we just fucking play the team that we're all looking at our phone for?
Oh, speaking of that. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The cell phone coverage, it actually worked in the game for the first time in my life. There was a guy streaming the Hawkeye game in the section
ahead, really?
In the row ahead of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have said, hey, how you doing? popped a little sight and kind of watched a dual vision, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like
picture in picture.
Yesterday was great. Yesterday was absolutely just awesome. The hot dog bar was fucking amazing.
The hot dog bar was a success, man.
That super dog was incredible.
That was a lot of fun.
That super dog, like I've never had one sober, and finally had one partially sober was great.
We need to do that again because
we need to do that again.
Got really good.
And we need people who are listening to this podcast to come because everybody ate like one hot dog, if even.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on one hell of a leftovers crusade this week where it may kill me the amount of hot dogs I'm gonna be eating.
Do you think those would be good for a week?
You can freeze them.
Oh no, I got most of them in the freezer, but there is a 24 count pack in the fridge.
Because I would love to maybe come for the Cy-Hawk game and we kind of have a little.
Oh tour. Well, we can do that. I can because I was gonna freeze up most of the pineapple sauce because that I can freeze.
Yes, sir.
And then you have to make more of the garlic cilantro.
Yeah, then we just have to make more garlic cilantro.
That garlic cilantro is deadly.
Yeah, last night I was sitting on the couch.
Just squirting the bottle in your mouth?
I know a bag of sea salt pretty vinegar much. Chips. And just going one chip at a time, giving it a squirt of that garlic cilantro sauce. Oh. That was pretty good, actually.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, my gosh.
That was all right, but
no. Do they sell that shit? Because you shouldn't, like, consider that if you just made that from scratch.
Oh, we made it.
I don't even know how you
Because every single person who had that cilantro garlic sauce was like, what is that? And you're like, it's the cilantro garlic sauce. And they're like, that is amazing. And they were just putting that on their hot dog.
What was it? Okay, so
it's mainly sour cream and mayo, and then garlic and cilantro and some salt.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you just whip it up.
And you just throw it in a blender.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I we're gonna be making that just for a chip, probably.
We're gonna, yeah, you're gonna tell me those measurements so I can make those
here. Yeah, so that one was good, and then so now we just gotta wait a little while, and it sounds like the next crew are gonna be doing pulled pork sandwiches and other stuff like that too. So
which will be fun.
I'll have a hell of a good meal.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun. I like pulled pork, but really the hot dog bar. I'm a sucker. We've talked about this before. I'm a sucker for a theme. I love a good theme. I love the party, the theme party. It makes it funny. It makes it fun and funny. And you can talk about that if you don't have any. If you meet someone new, and you don't have anything in common with them, and you don't know anything about them, you can talk about the party and how goofy it is, and oh, what hot dog did you get?
Sure.
What do you like?
You can give Kev credit for it, but the sign was pretty cool.
Oh, the
sign was incredible. The sign was awesome.
I'd have to say all the cool hot dogs that we had, without doing a tally, I'd be willing to bet that the grumpy old man was the one that
the favorite.
That was most eaten. It was basically ketchup, mustard, relish, no weird shit. This is the way it's always should have been made.
You should have been put one of those like no smoking circle with the cross through it thing. And just been like, don't get this. It's boring. Boring. You're like, oh, I want ketchup and onion. Okay. Yeah. The party.
Those are good too.
Oh, wow. Well, that was. And then they're like, I'm just bitching now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll definitely have to have fun watching that Iowa game together.
Now we'll need to do Italian nights. Make some spaghetti. Make it dumb. Anyway.
All right.
We're getting to the end here. Anyway, I think the team looked good. Does anybody want to change their season predictions?
No, I'm feeling confident. I'm 11-1.
You like the 11-1?
Oh yeah.
You like the 11-1? Okay. I'm sticking with my 10-2. I think we saw a lot from Hunter yesterday. I think the defense will get better over the next few weeks. I think there was a little bit of holes yesterday, but I think they'll close them by more experience.
And I haven't taken a look around to see how anyone else in the conference did yesterday.
You're not going to learn much. Like, they're not going to learn a lot from Iowa State.
Probably true, yeah.
But the only thing they'll learn is, yeah, that Hunter Decker guy really is good. See, and that's about it.
See, we weren't bullshitting you.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to learn from Baylor killing Albany. You're not going to learn a lot from Kansas killing Tennessee Tech. We'll learn this weekend when West Virginia plays Kansas. We'll learn this weekend when Baylor plays BYU. We'll definitely learn when Texas plays Bama.
I hope it goes well.
What do you mean by going well?
It goes well for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama, you just go ahead and throttle them.
You just crush them. Just smoke them.
The storylines will write themselves at that.
And they will. And the reason why is because you have some just murderer on their defensive line who runs faster, who's 300 pounds and runs faster than most MAC running backs, who just sees all these people talking about Quinn Ewers all damn offseason long about how great he's going to be. Oh, he was top recruit of the top recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the second coming of Jesus at the quarterback spot.
And this is what he looks like on his ass.
And he hasn't played a fucking snap of football until last night, but this is all offseason. And their quarterback, Alabama's quarterback, won the fucking Heisman, and nobody's talking about him. And that probably bugs the shit out of all the Alabama people. Like, why are you talking about this loser? They're going to drop him. And Pretty Boy might he might get his feelings hurt. He might need another million to stay in Austin. It's gonna be a long. It's gonna be a long few years, buddy. Anyway,
yeah.
Iowa State's gonna show him what's what. We're gonna send him off to the SEC in style. Anyway, fuck them. Fuck the Hawks. Go Cyclones.
Fuck the Hawks.
Cyclones.
See ya.